Welcome to this morning's service. We serve a mighty God, an all-powerful God, who provides for our every need. He doesn't just provide enough, he provides in abundance so that we can be a blessing to others. Drawing from two of the messages that came out of the breakfast devotionals that my wife and I shared this morning, God wants us to use what he gives us, and he wants us to do so not with self-confidence, but with Christ's confidence, the confidence that comes from being children of God. He calls us to be generous, and the call to worship I'm going to lead us into this morning is headed in the NIV, Generosity Encouraged. So it's from the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We will now have our first two songs. First, Great is Thy Darkness, and then Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you. thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are to us. We thank you for your blessings upon our lives. We thank you for this privilege that you give us to gather together as your people, to praise you, to worship you, to glorify your name. We thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to your covenant with us as your people. We thank you for your forgiveness that you continue to pour out upon our lives. We thank you for your love that we enjoy each and every day of our lives. We thank you for your grace that you pour out on us. We thank you for opening our eyes that we may see your grace and love and respond to it and allowing you to minister life and hope to us. Thank you for the blessings that you continue to pour out upon our lives. Thank you for the wonderful people in our midst that serve you. Thank you for the work of ministry that goes around in our midst. Thank you for those people that give us phone calls, that check on us, that send us cards, that send us flowers. Thank you for those wonderful words that we receive from your people. We give you glory for each and every one of us that you have brought to be part and parcel of this congregation, because you know that we have something to give to you. Thank you for that seat that you give us to be part and parcel of your mission in this place. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome one and all, and we welcome those listening online. We shall be holding our annual general meeting after this morning's worship, to which everyone is warmly invited. If you want to know what's going on, please stay. But obviously, only members are able to vote. There are slips on the little table at the back of the church for voting for, or re-voting, probably, for David and Christine, who are up for re-election. And there's paperwork, minutes, agenda, and all sorts at the back. So have a look at that while you're having your coffee after the service. Again, everybody warmly welcome to join us for coffee and biscuits. Heather is putting together an order for our branded T-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, etc. There are forms again at the back of the church there, so fill in the form with the right sizes that you want, and a check payable to Hinckley URC. It's all the instructions are on the form, but if you could give it to Heather by the 10th of September? Yeah, December would be helpful, sorry about that. And Paul would like to have a quick word with you.
Just echoing the word that we've already heard from Richard this morning about planting seeds. So some of you may have noticed the Christmas cards that we have at the back of the room. Don't go down your Christmas list. They're not for Aunt Ethel in Australia. It's an invitation to the activities, the services we have at church. But the Lord will have already laid on your hearts the people that you should send them to. And if not, pray about it. Specific people need to get these cards. And what I would ask you to do, don't just give them a card, but to sign it and perhaps put a verse or a message inside. It's an invitation to the services that we have. It's an invitation to relationship with the Lord. We'll be giving them out to groups as well that we work with. And if there's any left at the end, James has graciously volunteered we'll be going round to the local houses and the apartments and just extending that invitation to people in the area. Thank you.
So following on from Paul's outreach, I'd like to say a huge thank you to everybody who helped on Friday. It was the light switch on and the church was open, and boy was the church open. It was brilliant. It was full. The only time we could actually take a breath was when the fireworks were on and people went outside to look at the fireworks. It was really good. So thank you very much, one and all. And a special thanks to Rachel, Sally and Kate, who were here all day setting up all the crafts and the coffee cups and all the rest of it. They were here. I don't know what time they got here in the morning, but I didn't leave till gone 8:30. So thank you, one and all. It was brilliant. Please look at the prayer tree. A lot of the children wrote a little prayer on there, and some of them are very moving and quite emotional. So please use that to put your own prayers on, or if you're struggling for a prayer, read a prayer on that tree. It's really quite emotional. And those, I think, are all my notices, and I'll see you later for the AGM.
We now have our prayers of intercession, so let us pray. Lord and Father, we thank you that you want us to bring intercessory prayers to you, that you will hear our prayers, and that you will act upon them in your perfect way and in your perfect timing. You know what is on our hearts, but you want us to put it into words, whether expressed audibly or not, that which is concerning us and that which we are feeling, and to do so with confidence, knowing that however inadequate our words, Jesus will interpret them for us to you. The situation in Israel and Gaza wrenches our hearts, and our thoughts and feelings are in turmoil. We pray that you will bring peace, that people will be moved by mercy and not hate, that you will provide protection and provision. And because we cannot think how this can be achieved, we pray for a divine intervention. We know that Israel and Gaza are not the only places where the horrors of war, conflict, and violence are happening. And amongst others, we bring to you Ukraine, Myanmar, Afghanistan, Yemen, Ethiopia, and Sudan. And we pray for these, all that we pray for the situation in Israel and Gaza. We pray for all those fleeing these situations. We pray that they may find refuge and welcome. We know that this presents issues for the receiving countries and their citizens. But we pray that compassion will lead to ways being found to help. We pray for those suffering in the aftermath of the volcanoes in Iceland and the earthquakes in Nepal and from storms and floodings in this country and different parts of the world. We pray that governments throughout the world will move quicker and with more substance in addressing the climate issues that the world is facing, and not keep putting off action because of economic and other pressures. We pray for wisdom and guidance for our government in tackling the other issues facing the country, cost of living issues, the NHS, the care sector, and the provision of housing for the young, the poor and the homeless. We pray for protection for the most vulnerable in society. We pray for our community. We pray for those that do not know you, that they will come to do so, and that you help us to play our part in taking the good news of you to them. We pray for the success of the different initiatives with which the church is engaged. Help us to be there for the people, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We pray for our church, for those who are no longer able to attend due to ill health or age, and pray that they will continue to feel part of the church community through the efforts of those in the church who keep in touch with them. We pray for strength for those who care for those who are ill. We pray for each other, that we may get closer to God and that we will feel his presence with us at all times. Help us to help each other in our individual walks with you. We all have things on our hearts that we want to bring to God, and I pause now to provide an opportunity for each of us to individually pray to him. We pray for the intercessory prayers that Sue told us about on the Christmas tree left by the children. We pray, Lord, that you increase our trust and confidence in you. We pray that you help us not to look to our souls, but to you, to become dependent upon you and less on our souls. We pray that whatever our circumstances, that we know the peace and joy of living a life with you. Help us as we go about our daily lives to reflect you in all that we do and say, and to make a difference in the lives of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we will now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now sing our next song, Take My Life and Let It Be. And while we're singing this song, we'll take the offering. Lord, we offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts and in joyous praise. As we give our money, this money donated this morning and those given directly for the bank, and we surrender our whole beings to you in worship and adoration. Lord, may this offering extend the work of your kingdom in your church, your community, and into the beautiful world which you have made. Amen. And now we will have our Bible reading.
Good morning. Our Bible reading today is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. These are the words of God. And we'll sing our next song, which is My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
more practice will be needed on this hymn, shall have a quiet word in the AGM concerning this. What I want to try and share with us this morning is the thought or the thoughts that we as church and God's people have something to offer. And sometimes the church, or I feel, I don't have anything to offer to the world or to the communities around us. And I was having a conversation on Friday that caused me to be on a back foot in the conversation. Most of the conversations, I always want to be ahead of the situation. But one of the gentlemen from Nuneaton asked me this question. And he said to me, what does the church offer to you? Those are conversations you don't ask the minister that. Because, and I had to stammer 3 or 4 times trying to work out what is the positive response, until I worked out that the church offers me the message of hope, and the church gives me the assurance that I am not on my own, but I've got brothers and sisters that are around me, and the church still has got something to offer to me, as much as I think, or people think, that I've got things to offer to the church, but the church has a lot to offer to me. And sometimes a lot of us feel like we don't have anything to offer to the world or to our brother and sister in Christ because of certain reasons that we think we are not able to offer certain things or a service or a ministry to our brothers and sisters and community around us. Now, Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church about the end times or the anticipation that Christ is going to come again. And he wants them to know that they still have got a role to play in the life of the world and in the life of the church. And in that time, a lot of people looked at the concept of the coming of Christ as a cause for them to scare people, to say, oh, Christ is going to come and there's going to be destruction and all this, and you've got to prepare yourself, and therefore we want to cause you to be afraid. And there are those that were saying, because Jesus Christ is coming back soon, we don't have to work hard, we just have got to be idle and do nothing. And Paul had to deal with that. And there were those in the church that felt that because Christ was coming and very soon, they wanted to prepare themselves for his coming, and they wanted to invest their time in prayer and in seclusion and focusing their attention on preparing themselves for the appearance of the living Son of God. And Paul speaks to them and says, no, you have the ministry to offer to the community, to those, because Paul uses the rhetoric speaking and talking about them, those of the darkness, and you are of the light, and those that are drunk, and those of you that are sober, and those who are late, which is the church, and those outside the church who have fallen asleep. But he says, you still have got a role to play in the life of the community, and not just thinking that the coming of Jesus Christ is going to bring an end to all things. But he says also, he challenges them that even social justice is something that you have got to look into and to make sure that the church has something to offer and truly offering that. And he reminds the church that we are going to also be accountable on the day of the Lord. So it's not just about the end of things, but God is going to hold us accountable for all the resources that God has blessed us, the giftings that God has given us, the callings that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us. We are all going to be held accountable. Our works, our ministry is going to go through a furnace of fire, and each and every one of us will be waiting at the end of the other side of the tunnel to see what comes out. And my turn will come, and my work will go through because I'm reverent, and my work will go through the furnace and all these things that I've done, that I think I've done very well, and I would wait for a reward at the end of the tunnel. And the scripture tells us that some of us, we will wait there and nothing will come out, depending on what we have invested in the work of the ministry, whatever we have offered to Christ. And there's going to be accountable for each and every one of us. Not just I want you to be scared, but I want you to be aware that there is going, each and every one of us is going to be accountable before God for whatever God has entrusted us with. It might be money, it might be gifting, it might even the life, how we have used our lives, how we have impacted the people in our street, how we have impacted the people in our town. God is going to hold us accountable. But he also, Paul, writes to the church, and he wants them to know that they have the hope in Christ Jesus, that as Christ Jesus is going to come back again, it enables us or reminds us that there is hope after death. So life is not only going to end when we die, but we have a hope that is held, that is anchored in Christ Jesus. And that hope is our breastplate that protects our hearts, because we know that we believe in Christ Jesus and we have the hope for eternal life. But as I talk about, we have something to give. It's not just a hope that we keep to ourselves. It's important to have that hope. But we also have got the responsibility to offer that hope to the people that are around us, the hope to the hopeless. And that is what we are here to offer as church. We have a responsibility to grant hope to the people that are hopeless. When we see people struggling in their lives and we are there to offer hope, to say their life can be better in Christ Jesus, and to grant them the hope to say, even when you are going through a difficult time in your life and you feel like you are on your own and nobody seems to understand you, not even your government, or your local counselor, or counselors, or sometimes even the church, but the hope to say, God is always alongside you, because I know that the Lord is my shepherd, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. So we are there to give that hope to people, and that is our responsibility. And you can say, what can I offer to the people? The hope that you have in Christ Jesus. It's something that you can share with other people, and even the hope that the knowledge that you know that you can pray, and we do offer this to the people to say, you can hang your prayers on the Christmas tree. We will pray because God hears the prayers, the calling of every person, and that's the hope we can offer, and that's my responsibility. That's your responsibility as God's people, to offer that hope, that we know that God can intervene in our situations and in the situations of the people. Not just the hope, but we also have got the breastplate of love. We know that we are a loved people. God loves us so much. We are loved. And we need to know that and to keep that in our hearts, to say, God loves you. You matter to God so much. But we don't only need to keep that love to ourselves, But we need to share that love with other people. The people that feel useless and the people that feel they are not valued. When we are there, we as the light of the world, we come into a situation and we see a person who is not loved, who is not appreciated, and we say, God loves you. You matter. I can listen to you. I can spend time with you because in me, I have got the love of God that is bubbling in me, and therefore I can share that. So you can say, what do I have to offer to the community? You can offer the love of God that God has given in you and the love that is in you, and you share that to the world. In our world that is so lacking of love, and we are here as the people of the light, we offer that love. In a world where other people don't matter, but we know of a world in Christ Jesus, and we offer that a world of love. And we say, I am here to share God's love with you. Another, you have conversations when you open the church to the public. Some of them are not very comfortable, but you have them, and you have interactions, and you have the opportunity. Somebody was talking about, how much are you charging for your cup of tea? And I'm saying, no, we are not charging. We're just offering our love to the community. Oh, could I pay for it? I said, that's a choice, whether you want to respond to that love. And sometimes it's a good opportunity to show that love to the world, and not thinking necessarily about what we are going to get out of it. But love is all about giving what we have, because we have received love from God free of charge, and that love, we have it, we can give it out to other people. And God does not intend to receive anything from us for loving us. Love is something we give out freely because we received it freely from God. And that's what you can offer. You can offer love to the people we meet in this world that doesn't care about any other person except me and I. But we are the light. We are the people of the light. We share that love with other people. What else can we offer to the world? We also offer our faith, the faith that we have in Christ, to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I want to share. I want you to have this experience of my faith, because that is the faith that I have. And sometimes it's not easy to talk about your faith, because you don't want to, you know, push it down the throat of other people. But when you have conversations, you can talk about your faith in Jesus Christ and say, I believe in Christ. I believe Christ has done a great work in my life. He's still working. I'm not perfect yet. I am working on it. When I get it right, when I'm perfect, I'll shout about it. But meanwhile, I'm working on it, and I can share with you what Christ is doing into my life and changing me and making me better. I struggle with it. And those are the things that we can share with other people. We don't have to keep our faith to ourselves. It's not for us to keep to ourselves, as much as it is important and treasure it in our hearts. But we also need to share this out. And Paul tells the church, and he says, I want you to be aware of the day of the coming of the Lord, and you to be anchored in the hope and in the love of God and in your faith. But I also want you to encourage each other in the words of hope. So you can offer, we have a responsibility. What can you offer to your brother and sister in Christ? The words of encouragement to build one another in faith. To say to somebody, no, God cares for you. We are praying for you. What you are doing it very well. Thank you, Richard, for leading the service, encouraging somebody. Thank you for reading the word of God. Thank you, we are so pleased to have you today. We are so happy to see you. It's a blessing to have you in our midst, because it is a blessing. And that is our responsibility, what we can offer to one another when we have tea and coffee, when somebody is sharing about their difficulties, and you don't have to wait for prayers of and intercession. You can sit aside with them and encourage them to say, we know God is going to intervene in your situation. Pray with them, encourage them, build them up in their faith. That's what you can offer. That's what I can offer as a child of God. And each and every one of us have got the responsibility to encourage one another in the faith. What can we offer? We offer words of encouragement and words that build one another up. Building one another up in the faith. We are not, none of us has reached perfection, yet our responsibility is to build one another up, building one another up in the word of Christ as we anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold the Lamb, as we prepare our hearts for communion, to share with the Lord and with one another, affirming our faith, affirming the hope that we hold in Christ, and affirming our love for one another and God's love for us as God's people of the light. and Sue, please. It is the Lord Jesus himself who invites us to this table, which is the table of the Lord, not the table of the church, that in the broken bread and poured out wine, which are the symbols of his death on the cross, we may celebrate. We come to this table because the door is wide open for every one of us, and a place has been prepared by God, and we are hungry to receive from his table. Let's pray. Lord, we come to your table trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. You call us saints, yet we continue to sin through disobedience, resistance, and sometimes negligence. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs from under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. Therefore, gracious Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, we ask forgiveness for our sins, and that your Holy Spirit to work within us and making us more like Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, unite us with the worldwide household of God. Enable us to reach across the years and receive from the hands of your Son, Jesus Christ, this gift that he offers to each and every one of us. Amen. At the table of a Jewish Passover festival, the eldest person in the family will ask the youngest in the family to say this question: what does this mean to us? And then the eldest in the family will say, this is a reminder to us that we were slaves in Egypt. The Lord, our God, Yahweh, redeemed us and took us through the Red Sea and into the wilderness and into the promised land. And it is always the blood on our door windows that saved us, that when the angel of death came to destroy the firstborn, when he saw the blood of the Lamb upon our doorsteps, on our door windows, he passed over. And that is the meaning. We do that in remembrance of God's redemption of us as God's people. Let's give thanks. We give you thanks that from the earth, God, you cause grain to come for the making of bread. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, whose body was broken for us. Fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit, that we may confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. May the bread which we break be to us the body of Christ, and may we be made one in him, as of old you fed your people in the wilderness. So feed us now, that we may live in your praise, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke bread, and he said, take, this is the body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Bread will come to where we are, as God always wants to meet us where we are. And we hold on to the bread until we have all received, and then we can eat together. Body of Christ broken for us. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in her and in him, he or her will bear much fruit. We give thanks to you, O God, that you cause the vine to yield fruit. We bless you for Jesus Christ, who is the true vine, whose blood was poured out for us. Fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit, that we may remain in Christ and bear fruit that shall last. May the cup which we bless be to us the communion of the blood of Christ, purifying us from all our sins. And as we share in the suffering of Christ, so give us grace, that we may know the power of his resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When Jesus Christ had given thanks, he gave the cup to his disciples and he said, drink this all of you, For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We hold on to our cups and we will drink together. The blood of Christ keep you and us in eternal life. From my context, when we are fed and we are full, we express our thanksgiving through the clapping of our hands as we say thank you to the people that would have provided a meal to us. And we pray together, and I would express that to God and giving thanks to Him for feeding us. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that while we were still far off, you made us your people through your Son. You brought us home. You have made us one with all your church in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you as living sacrifices to your glory, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, Give Me the Faith Which Can Remove.
As we go, may we ooze the love of God to God's creation and people as we share grace one to another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Grab a cup of tea or a coffee and some biscuits, and we gather, just give ourselves 10 minutes, and then we come back into the AGM, smash it, and enjoy